ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. భద్రం కర్ణేభి శృణుయామ దేవాః. భద్రం పశ్యేమాక్షభిర్యజత్రాః. స్థిరైరంగైస్తు స్పృవాగుంసస్తనూభిః. వేషేమ దేవహితం యదాయుః. స్వస్తి నైంద్రో వృద్ధశ్రవాః. స్వస్తి న పూషా విశ్వవేదాః. స్వస్తి నస్తార్క్ష్యో అరిష్టనేమిః. స్వస్తి నో బృహస్పతిర్దదాతు. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. మాండూక్య ఉపనిషత్ విది కారిక చాప్టర్ 4 అలాత శాంతి ప్రకరణం. సో ఇన్ ది లాస్ట్ వెబినార్ ఇన్ శ్లోకాస్ 47-52 వి సా దట్ గౌడపాదాచార్య గివ్స్ ద ఎగ్జాంపుల్ ఆఫ్ అలాతం. అలాతం మీన్స్ ది ఫైర్ బ్రాండ్, ద టార్చ్, టు ఎస్టాబ్లిష్ అజాతివాద. దిస్ అ ప్రొఫౌండ్ టీచింగ్. సో వెన్ అ టార్చ్ విత్ అ గ్లోయింగ్ టిప్ ఇస్ మూవింగ్ వెరీ ఫాస్ట్ ఇన్ అ డార్క్ రూమ్, డిఫరెంట్ ప్యాటర్న్స్ ఆర్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్డ్. గ్లో ఈస్ ఓన్లీ వన్, బట్ ప్యాటర్న్స్ ఆర్ మెనీ. దే డోంట్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ యాజ్ ఇండిపెండెంట్ థింగ్స్ అట్ ఆల్. ది ప్యాటర్న్స్ డూ నాట్ కమ్ from outside and join the firebrand. The patterns do not come from inside or outside the firebrand, but are clearly experienced. So when the movement is stopped, the patterns suddenly disappear. It cannot be said that the patterns went inside the torch or somewhere else when the firebrand's movement is stopped. These patterns, they appear from nowhere and disappear into nowhere, and this is the nature of the patterns. They cannot be dealt with as a separate entity. Since the torch and the patterns cannot be counted as two separate entities, one cannot talk about them as karanam and karyam, because that relationship would require two separate things. Thus, the patterns do not have existence and origination, but they have only appearance. In the same way, there is only one consciousness, Chaitanyam principle, called Turiya or Brahman, and the whole world is nothing but different patterns. Like the patterns of the torch, the world does not have existence of its own as a separate entity. The world does not have an origination from Brahman also. So when the Chaitanya, when the consciousness is in motion through Maya, the world just appears and disappears, and thus there is no Karana-Karya relationship between Brahman and the world. Since world is not a product of Brahman and does not originate from Brahman, creation or origination of the world is not a viable discussion. And so Ajatiwada is the final truth. There is one Brahman, but lot of appearances, nothing more, nothing less. So in Shloka 52, it is said that the patterns are not considered as separate substance or entity. We use the word patterns, but that does not mean there is a substance called pattern. This is the message of the whole Mandukya Karika. Word part, for example, is used, but that does not mean that there is a substance called part. The substance is the clay. Clay is also a word. Thus, everything that is talked about exists only in the form of words only, and none of them is a substance. And there is only one substance, which is Brahman alone. That Brahman is Turiyam. So that Turiyam is I. What is present are I, and some confusions are there, that is about, there is samsara also is present. When the confusions are resolved, there is no samsara. There is no karya-karana relationship between the torch and the patterns, Brahman and world, or consciousness and matter. Matter is nothing but consciousness in motion. Matter is appearance without explanation. It is inconceivable. It is indescribable. It cannot be said to be existent because it does not have an existence of its own, but cannot be said to be non-existent also because it is experienced. It is not sat or asat, but it is mithya, anirvachaniyam. The more mithya is probed, the more mysterious it becomes. That is the nature of mithya. Now let us go to Shloka 53. We saw this sloka also in the last class, just only I'm refreshing. Dravyam dravyasya hetu syat anyadanyasya chaivahi dravyatvam anyabhavo va dharmanam nopapadyate. So this sloka in this last webinar we saw, the absence of karana-karya relationship is explained further here. Two separate and independent entities are required for a karya-karana relationship to exist. Between clay and pot and Brahman and world, this relationship cannot exist as two separate entities. In comparison to Brahman, Jagat or Jiva, they don't have separate substantiality at all or separate beings. So God and world cannot be counted as two separate entities. Do not look for God elsewhere apart from the world, but learn to look at the world itself with a different perspective. That is the teaching. Then it will be known that what is mistaken as the world is only Brahman. What is world for an ignorant person is Brahman for a wise person. Shloka 54. Evam na chitta ja dharmaha chittam vapina dharmajam evam hetupala jatim pravishanti manishinaha. Evam na chitta ja dharmaha. The objects, they are not born out of consciousness. Chittam vapi na dharmajam, nor is the consciousness born out of objects. Evam, thus, manishinaha hetu pala jatim pravishanti. Wise people, they arrive at the birthlessness of both the cause and the effect. So, in this manner, the objects of the world are not born out of consciousness. Matter is not born out of consciousness, nor is consciousness born out of matter. Nothing is born out of a second thing. World is not produced out of Brahman or vice versa. There is only Brahman in the past, in the present, and in the future. And the world is only an appearance. Some people say that God created man, and some others say that man created God. Gaudapada Acharya says that neither of those statements are correct, but that there is only one existence which people divide into God and man, or Jivatma, Paramatma, all that. So Jivatma and Paramatma are divisions made by ignorant people, but there is only Eka Atma. Wise people know that karma and body don't have cause-effect relationship. Shloka 55. Yavad detu pala veshaha, tavad detu palodbhavaha, kshine ketu pala veshe, nasti ketu palodbhavaha. Yavat ketu pala veshaha, as long as yavat there is obsession with cause and effect, tavat aveshaha, tavat hetu palodbhavaha, so long tavat there will be origination, udbhavaha, pala udbhavaha, palodbhavaha, origination of cause and effect. Kshine hetu palaveshaha, when obsession with cause and effect is subdued, kshine hetu palodbhavaha nasti, origination of cause and effect does not take place. So if you are caught in the trap of cause and effect due to ignorance, it is very difficult to get out. This will result in the strong notion of individuality, with the time of birth and anxiety over the future, when the death is going to come, all that. The result will be getting trapped in the past or the future, both of which are non-existent. The wise people are not obsessed too much with the past or the future. They do what they have to do in this drama of life without thinking too much about the past or the future. Getting steeped in the cause-effect trap, the mind gets preoccupied with the past or the future, and the trap gets stronger the more one engages in it. So every hurt in the world happens only once, but that hurt happens hundreds of times in the mind when it is relived again and again and again.
Thus the mind gives it life and strength. The whole world gathers the capacity to hurt me because I have given the world the capacity and strength to do so. We look for the source of our problems outside and solutions also outside and do not realize that it is us that generates the problem and we are the solution also. As long as you are obsessed with this world of cause and effect, the more it will get stretched further and further. When this obsession gradually comes down through Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam of Atma Swarupam, there will not be any more continuation of samsara due to the perceived cause-effect nature of the world. The notion that the world and its trappings are needed to complete oneself will weaken and the Turiyam self will be accepted as it is. It is the ownership. Thus, one should discard the cause-effect teaching and accept the non-origination teaching. That is the essence of the Karika. Shloka 56. Yavad detupala veshaha samsarastavadayataha kshine kehetupala veshe samsaram na prapadyate. Yavat hetu palaveshaha, these are all similar shlokas. As long as there is obsession with cause and effect, samsara stavadayataha, so long samsara is extended. Kshine hetu palaveshe, when obsession with the cause and effect is subdued, samsaram na prapadyate, one does not enter samsara at all. So as long as this obsession continues, feeling of limitation is always traced to an external cause and not to self-ignorance. Tampering with external things seems the solution. That's what we all think. There is always something to get rid of or to acquire. I will get happiness by getting rid of something, or I will get happiness by acquiring something. We keep on tampering with world and people. This expectation of a perfect world will never materialize. No external factors is obtained. Are needed to make us full, because the sense of apurnatvam that makes us to look for external factors. No external factors are needed to make us full, purnaha and complete. Until this knowledge is obtained, life will be a samsara only, which is nothing but struggling to be different from what we are at present. This lack of self-acceptance as we are results in adjusting what? Adjusting the surroundings, which can never succeed. We are Satchit Ananda Swarupaha, and claiming that will make us comfortable with what we are. This Purnatvam will release a person from the trap of cause-effect. Moksha is not the result of sadhana, but sadhana is for disclaiming samsara. You know how it is, so intricate. Moksha is not the result of a sadhana. But sadhana is what? Is for disclaiming samsara, which is our misconception. As long as we are trapped in the cause-effect world, samsara will keep on extending. Finite cannot become infinite by getting a few things. Infinite does not need anything to become infinite. For transactional purposes, we need a few things like food, clothing, shelter, all those things we need. But to be at home with oneself, a person does not need anything. When the obsession with cause and effect ends through Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam, samsara goes away. Shloka 57. Samvritya jayate sarvam Shashvatam nasti tena vaihi sadbhavena hyajam sarvam uchedastena nasti vai. Sarvam samvritya jayate. Everything is born because of ignorance. Shashvatam tena nasti vai. Therefore, nothing is indeed permanent. Shashvatam sadbhavena hyajam sarvam, as Brahman. Everything is indeed unborn. Uchedaha tena nastivai. Therefore, there is no destruction at all. So Gaudapadacharya, he concludes there are no two things at all, and so no karya karana relationship. Even though there are no two things, there are two versions of the same thing. Depending on our vision, like rope and snake, they are two versions of the same thing. One that has clear vision sees rope, but one who has a deluded vision sees snake. Brahman and world are not two things, but two visions. Krishna refers to this, the jnani's vision in the Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter. Yanisha sarva bhutanam tasyam jagarti samyami yasyam jagrati bhutani sanisha pasyato munehe. In that which is night for all beings, one who is wise and has mastery over oneself, he is awake. That in which beings are awake is night for the wise one who sees, pasyati. For an ignorant person, what is available is the world of cause and effect because of the veiling caused by ignorance. He experiences a world that continuously comes, briefly exists, and then goes away. No permanence. For a jnani, what is called world is nothing but unborn Brahman. What was named elephant, which looked real before, is nothing but wood. What is world is nothing but Brahman. As Krishna says again in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahmarpanam, Brahmahavihim, Brahmagno, Brahmanahutam, Brahmaivatena Kantavyam, Brahma Karma Samadhina. The means of offering is Brahman. Oblation is Brahman. Offered by Brahman into the fire. Which is Brahman? Fire also is Brahman. Brahman indeed is to be reached by him who sees everything as Brahman. Chapter 4. So from Namarupa angle, there is birth and death. From Brahman angle, there is no birth and death. So do you see the eternity or do you see mortality? That is the question. This depends on one's own vision. Shloka 58. Dharmaya iti jayante, jayante tena tattvataha, janma mayopamam tesham, sacha mayana vidyate. Dharmaya iti jayante. Those entities which are born in this manner, iti jayante, jayante tena tattvataha, they are not born really at all. Janma mayopamam tesham, their birth is comparable to illusion, maya. And sacha maya na vidyate. That illusion does not exist. So all things and beings which are born in this manner due to ignorance, avidya, are not really born at all. Similar to the dream world. Due to the ignorance of the waker, as the waker, nidra shakti. And the snake on the rope, due to the ignorance of the rope, therefore, this creation is similar to the production of things by a magician. We already saw that in the Dakshinamurti Stotram, in the last class. The things produced by the magician, they come and go. Similarly, the world is due to the cosmic magician, Ishvara. As it's stated in the Dakshinamurti Stotram, we saw last week. Ishvara is Brahman plus Maya. Brahman alone projects this universe by its magical power called Maya. When it is said that the world is a magical projection by Brahman through Maya, it seems that two things are now accepted, Brahman and Maya. Gaudapadacharya says that Maya Shakti is also as real as the world is. Maya is mithya. Maya does not have existence and origination. It appears and it is experienced because of Maya. The example that is given for Maya is darkness normally. Is there darkness really? Is there anything called darkness? The darkness is experienced and it seems to be existent. The objects are covered in darkness. And what is the nature of darkness? When it is investigated with the help of light and eyes, it vanishes without any trace. The destruction of a tangibly existent thing should leave some remnants of itself.
thus existence and origination of darkness that cannot be established. But it is experienced. Maya and the world are similar. Maya cannot be established, and it is magic. It's magic it is. It is experienced, but it is not existent. Shloka 59.
Yatha maya mayat bijat jayate tanmayonkuraha nasau nityo na chochedhi tadvaddharmeshu yojana.
Maya mayat bijat, out of an illusory seed, bijam, seed, yata jayate tanmayonkuraha, a similar sprout, ankuraha, is born. Nasau nityaha, it is neither eternal, nacha uchyed, nacha uchyedhi, it is not destructible also. Tadvat dharmeshu yojana. This logic has to be extended in the same manner, tadvate, in the case of all entities. So Gaudapada Acharya, he comments on the word mayopamam of the previous shloka. He refers to a magician's trick in which a sprout and a plant comes from a magical seed in a short time. Similarly, this world is a magical creation by the magician called Ishvara. The magical tree is not really existent. This world is neither permanent nor impermanent because the world is really not present at all. The entire world is a mystery. More it is probed, more mysterious it becomes. When we say avidya is cause of the universe, it is only a philosophical presentation. It really means that the answers to the nature of the universe cannot be known.
Shloka 60. Najeshu sarva dharmesha shashvata shashvata abhidham yatra varnana vartante vivekastatra nochyate.
So in case of all entities which are unborn is the Brahman. So shashvata shashvata abhidha, the word permanent or impermanent, shashvatam and ashashvatam, permanent or impermanent, na ajeshu sarva dharmesha cannot be applied.
Yatra varnana vartante vivekaha tatrana uchyate.
Distinction cannot be maintained, viveka cannot be maintained with regard to an entity where words do not function. You cannot discriminate based on them. In the previous shloka, the magic example was given. So this universe is also a magic show by Ishvara. We cannot give any description to the world. We cannot say it is permanent or it is impermanent. It is there or not there. As we go deeper, all questions will not have answers at all. Superficially, some answers can be given. However, cause and effect cannot always be correlated. There are many things that cannot be explained. All things and beings of the world which are really not born, but really only Brahman, cannot be described as permanent or impermanent, existent or non-existent. Superficially, the objects of the world, they seem different, but the difference is inexplainable. No description can be given to the world. It is anirvachaniya maya. So in analyzing the nature of the world, Gaudapada Acharya emphasized the fact that I, the Atma, the Turiya Atma, am the substratum of the world. Ultimately, the understanding of myself, that is the most important thing, because samsara is centered on the dissatisfaction that I have about whom? About myself. The image and the assessment I have about myself, they produce dissatisfaction. And the whole life is one of continuously battering myself. Even the efforts to change the world and people are really directed at changing my self-image with respect to them. Vedanta tries to help us change the perception we have about our self-image. The teaching of the Mithya world is to show that if the entire world is Mithya, then it requires a substratum. Mithya cannot exist by itself, and it borrows existence from some other source. And Gaudapada Acharya is stressing the mithya nature of the universe, is exhorting us to see that we are the substratum of the entire universe. Mithya jagat adhishtanam is the focus, and not mithya jagat by itself. So once it is understood that I am the supporter of the mithya universe, I will not need support from external worldly and religious sources, namely God and all that. So to focus on mithyatvam is to focus on what? On satyam only. Focus on the satyavastu. Secondly, all my interactions are supported by whom? By me, the adhishtanam. I am not interacting with the world. All the interactions are between the mithya body, mind. And I say, I am not I, the turiyatma. All the interactions are between the mithya body, mind and the mithya world. These interactions are inevitable. And the consequences are unknowable also. And even when they are known, they are not controllable. Look at that. Life is a series of such interactions. Body and mind should be allowed to interact in such a way because it is unavoidable. My status is not affected by any event. Trying to adjust all the images that we try to maintain belong to ahankara and mamakara only, which belong to mithya prapancha, and we are different from them. We are the adhishtanam, the substratum. And when this is remembered, we can also play along with the world, but will not be seriously affected by the happenings of the world. The mithya world does not have existence or origination. And to emphasize these two features is ajatibhata. So now we are clear about this ajatibhata. The mithya world does not have existence or origination. The mithya world appears, and the appearance is due to maya. And when these two features are emphasized, it is called maya jativada or mithya jativada. So Gaudapada Acharya swings between these two teachings in Mandukya Karika. The dream world is the metaphor for maya jativada. And additional information that Gaudapada Acharya gives in the 60th shloka, second line is that maya prapancha, that is born out of maya, is beyond description. As one goes deeper and deeper into the analysis of the world, then one will encounter only what? Gray areas. Lot of things cannot be explained. No description or definition can be definite. So the sentient, insentient differentiation is very clear at the gross macro level. But when goes into the analysis of matter at the micro level, the difference between the sentient and insentient becomes fuzzy. Maya is a term used to represent this vagueness. The vagueness is due to the fact that the world is only an appearance and does not really exist. Darkness is experienced, but when analyzed with the help of a light, it disappears. The more the world is analyzed, the more mysterious it becomes. Yet another meaning of mithya is mystery. Probing too much into the world will only produce what? Confusion. Clarity is understanding. In the understanding is not at all possible. Shloka 61. Yata swapne dvaya bhasam chittam chalati mayaya. Tata jagradvaya bhasam chittam chalati mayaya. Yata swapne dvaya bhasam chittam mayaya chalati. As in dream, yata swapne, chittam, consciousness, vibrates as though having dual functions. Tata jagradvaya bhasam chittam chalati mayaya. So also tata, in the waking state jagrati, various, this consciousness vibrates as though with two facets, dvayabhasam. We'll see the literal meaning first and then go to the explanations. Shloka 62. Advayam chadvayabhasam chittam swapnena samshayaham
అద్వయం చద్వయాభాసం తథా జాగ్రన్న సంశయం. అద్వయం చద్వయాభాసం చిత్తం. ది నాన్ డ్యువల్ మైండ్ అలోన్ ఈస్ ది సీమింగ్ డ్యువాలిటీ. స్వప్నే న సంశయ. ఇన్ ద డ్రీమ్ దర్ ఈస్ నో డౌట్. తథా ఇన్ ద సేమ్ వే అద్వయం చద్వయాభాసం ద నాన్ డ్యువల్ మైండ్ అలోన్ ఈస్ ద సీమింగ్ డ్యువాలిటీ. జగన్ న సంశయం. ఇన్ ద వేకింగ్ స్టేట్ ఇన్ జాగ్రన్ ఇన్ ది నాట్ జగన్ ద జాగ్రన్ న సంశయం. ఇన్ ద వేకింగ్ స్టేట్ దర్ ఈస్ నో డౌట్ అట్ ఆల్. సో గౌడపాదాచార్య గోస్ టు ద డ్రీమ్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ బికాస్ ద అండర్స్టాండింగ్ ఆఫ్ ద వేకింగ్ విల్ బి క్లియర్ ఓన్లీ వెన్ ద మిథ్యా నేచర్ ఆఫ్ ద డ్రీమ్ ఈస్ అండర్స్టుడ్. దీస్ టూ శ్లోకాస్ ఆర్ రీప్రొడక్షన్ ఆఫ్ ద టూ ప్రీవియస్ శ్లోకాస్ 29 అండ్ 30 ఆఫ్ ద థర్డ్ చాప్టర్ విచ్ వి సాట్ ది అద్వైత ప్రకరణం. So here the word chittam is used and the word manaha was used in the earlier verses in chapter 3, shloka 29-30. So one mind alone that gets divided into the observer body mind complex and the observed universe is the waking state. So the waking state is considered mithya even though it has ETU. Do you remember the ETU? The experienceability, transactability and the utility. So even though it has ETU similar to the dream state, even though it also has ETU in dream. So the dream is real for a dreamer in dream. The waking state is also a longer dream, but we don't consider it so because we are part of this waking dream. Just like the dream is known to be a dream upon waking up, this waking dream also will be known as such upon waking up to Thuriyam, our own near real nature. So Gaudapadacharya, he highlights one more point about the dream state in the following five shlokas that has not been discussed previously. So we will read all these five shlokas and then we will go to the discussion of all five of them. Shloka 63. స్వప్నదృక్ ప్రచరన్ స్వప్నే దిక్షు వైదశ సుస్థితాన్ అండజాన్ స్వేదజాన్ వాపి జీవాన్ పశ్యతి యాన్ సదా. స్వప్నదృక్ ప్రచరన్. స్వప్నదృక్ మీన్స్ ఏ డ్రీమర్ మూవింగ్ అబౌట్ ఇన్ డ్రీమ్. ప్రచరన్ స్వప్నే సదా పశ్యతి కాన్స్టెంట్లీ సీస్ ఇన్ ద డ్రీమ్ వాట్ అండజాన్ స్వేదజాన్ వేరియస్ బీయింగ్స్ బార్న్ ఆఫ్ ఎగ్స్ అండం అండ మీన్స్ ది ఎగ్స్ అండజాన్ Swedajan, born out of moisture, all that. Dikshuvai sthithan, existing in all the 10 quarters. That's what he's seeing. Shloka 64. Swapnadrik chitradrishyaste na vidyante tataprutakam tatadadrishyame vedam swapnadrik chittamishyate. Swapnadrik chitradrishyaste. Those beings which are objects in the dreamer's mind, Swapnadrik, na vidyante tataha prithaka, they do not exist apart from that mind. Tata, similarly, Swapnadrik chittam, the mind of the dreamer, ishyate, is accepted to be tat drishyame vedam, the object of that dreamer only. Shloka 65. Charanja agarite jagrate dikshuvaidasha susthitan అండజాన్ స్వేదజాన్ వాపి జీవాన్ పశ్యతి యాన్ సదా. చరణ్ జాగరితే మూవింగ్ అబౌట్ ఇన్ ద వేకింగ్ స్టేట్ ఇన్ ద జాగ్రత్త స్టేట్ ద వేకింగ్ స్టేట్ జాగ్రత్ పశ్యతే సదా ద వేకర్ హీ కాన్స్టెంట్లీ సీస్ అండజాన్ స్వేదజాన్ వేరియస్ బీయింగ్స్ బార్న్ ఆఫ్ ఎగ్స్ బార్న్ ఆఫ్ మాయిశ్చర్ ఆల్ దోస్ దిక్షు వై స్థితాన్ ఎగ్జిస్టింగ్ ఇన్ ఆల్ ది క్వార్టర్స్ క్వార్టర్స్ ఆల్ ది డైరెక్షన్స్ ఇన్ ఆల్ ప్లేసెస్. శ్లోక 66. జాగ్రచిత్తే క్షణీయాస్తే నా విద్యంతే తతపృథకం తతాతృశ్యమే వేదం జాగ్రతశ్చిత్తమిష్యతే. జాగ్రచిత్తే క్షణీయాస్తే దోస్ బీయింగ్స్ విచ్ ఆర్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ ఆఫ్ వేకర్స్ మైండ్ నా విద్యంతే తత పృథక్ దే డూ నాట్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ నా విద్యంతే అపార్ట్ ఫ్రమ్ దట్ మైండ్ పృథక్ తత సిమిలర్లీ జాగ్రత్తశ్చిత్తమిష్యతే ది మైండ్ ఆఫ్ ద వేకర్ ఈస్ అక్సెప్టెడ్. జాగ్రత్తశ్చిత్తమిష్యతే ది మైండ్ ఆఫ్ ద వేకర్ ఇస్ అక్సెప్టెడ్ తత్ దృశ్యమే వేదం టు బీ ద ఆబ్జెక్ట్
of that waker only. Shloka 67. Ubehenyon yadrishyete kim tadastiti nochyate lakshana shunyam ubhayam tanmate naiva grihyate. Ube, both of them are, he anyonya drishyate, indeed, mutually perceived, anyonya drishyate, te kim tadasti iti, does either of them exist? Na uchyate, no, that is how it is said. So, lakshana shunyam ubayam, both of them are indefinable, tanmatena eva grihyate, each one is grasped because of the notion of the other only. So, in Shloka 63 and 64, Gaudapada Acharya analyzes the dream from the standpoint of a dreamer and makes one or two observations that will be extended to the waking state later. So, in the dream, what happens? In the dream, the dreamer is very much part of the dream, experiencing everything in the dream world with the dream body, with the dream mind. So, in the dream, it all appears to be real, similar to what is found in the waking state. The dreamer travels and he experiences varieties of living beings different from himself. But he does not know that they are his own creations or projections in dream. Gaudapada Acharya describes different types of living beings based on Shastraic classifications. All those with an intervention of an egg, andajan. Those born in humid atmosphere, Swedajan, beings born out of a womb, plants, trees that come out from under the ground. So all those. So dreamer experiences those beings as different from himself, even though he is the one who is dreaming all of them. When the dreamer experiences varieties of objects, he has an internal thought corresponding to the experienced object that is external. With respect to the dream body. The dream consists of two components, an external object and the corresponding internal thought. External object and corresponding internal thought. After waking up, the waker knows that the object is unreal. But in dream, both the object and the thought are considered real. On waking, both are known as mithya. But he experienced both in dream. The object is called drishyam and the thought is called chittam. So all the dream objects put together is called swapna prapancha, the dream world. And all the dream thoughts put together is called swapna chittam. So swapna prapancham and swapna chittam. Both of them are projected by one waker's mind only. After waking up, the waker realizes that there was no swapna prapancha or swapna chittam. Both of them do not exist separate from the observer, the waker. So Gaudapada Acharya extends this to the waking stage. All the objects of the world, Jagrat Drishyam, and all the corresponding thoughts are projected by one Maya. I, the observer, am experiencing both the thoughts and objects. These are all waking state. So both world and mind are projected by one Maya, which is the Shakti of Turiyam. Like the Nidra Shakti, this is the Maya Shakti. But by Maya Shakti, I project both the waking world and the waking mind, which are objects of my experience. When I say I am free, mind should not be included in that because I use the mind though for doing that. When the mind is part of the waking world and so I cannot have full control over it, just as my body. When I say I am free, I should never include mind and body. In my claiming I am free, the I is the Turiya Atma. Use the mind to claim your glory, but do not depend on it for total freedom. Gaudapada Acharya gives a very important message that the mind should never be included in the meaning of I. I, capital I, is the Turiya Atma alone. It does not have mind, body included in it. For worldly transactions, body and mind are included in the word I. but for one's self-image, the body and mind should not be included in the I. So in Shloka 67, Gaudapada Acharya says that the mind and the world, they rise and dissolve together. One cannot prove the existence of one without the other, the mind and the world. Both the world and the mind, they coexist together. The mind and the world existing independent of each other is never possible nor provable. As long as the mind is awake, the world is experienced. Even when the mind is partially awake, the dream world is experienced. When the mind is fully asleep, no world is experienced. In meditation, the attempt to remove all the anatma results in sleep. The mind requires an object or an imaginary object for its existence. So both the mind and the world are dependent on each other. And the second example is to prove a sound, for example. What do? We use the ears, our ears. How do you know that you have a hearing instrument? The proof for the hearing instrument is some sound that can be heard. In the absence of any sound, the hearing instrument cannot be proved at all. To prove the ears, you require a sound. To prove the sound, you require ears. So Gaudapada Acharya asks, which proves which one? Both are mutually dependent, and it cannot be said that one is the proof for the other. The mind and the world are not independently proved. Each one is proved because of the other. Both do not have proof for independent existence, and both are dependent. If both of them are dependent, they both must be borrowing existence from something else, because both are dependent on something else. The mind and the world are borrowing existence from something else. Actually, in Shaddarshanam, diya saho deti diyastameti lokastato di pravivas lokastato di pravibhasya yeshaha di loka janma kshaya dhama purnam tadvastu janma kshaya shunyamekam. In Shaddarshanam, although the world and its knowledge rise and set together, it is by the knowledge alone that the world is made apparent. The whole wherefrom the world and its knowledge rise and wherein they all set, the Brahman, but which shines without rising and setting, that alone is the real. Sadvastu janma kshaya shunyam ekam. So I lend existence to the mithya world and the mithya mind. Lending existence to mind is fine, but because of ignorance, I conclude I am the mind. If I know I am the user of the mind and I am different from the mind, then I can use it and drop it. But if I identify with the mind, I get lost in the mind. Actually, there is another Upanishad called Amrita Bindu Upanishad. It is said, Mana eva manushyanam karanam bandha mokshayoho bandhaya vishayasaktam mukte nirvishayam smritam. The mind alone is the cause of people's bondage and liberation. Bandha mokshayoho. Bandha is bondage, moksha. Mana eva manushyanam karanam. The mind becomes heavy and burdened, and thereby life itself becomes a burden. External situations can be handled by getting away from them. But when mind itself is a problem, it will not work, since the mind follows me like my own shadow. One should learn to detach from the mind. In Shloka 67, based on the dream example experience, Gaudapada Acharya arrives at a very profound conclusion that the entire creation consists of a complementary pair of mind and the world, which are mutually dependent on each other. Both do not have existence of their own. Mind validates the world, and the world validates the mind. One of these cannot be proved without the help of the other. So this is the mithya game that the mithya mind world is playing. Once we understand the game, we are never trapped, but not understanding the game leads to a miserable life. How does that happen? Both the mind and the world do not have existence of their own. By identifying with the mind, first I lend existence to the mind. Thus the mind gets empowered because of whom? By me. During deep sleep, I am there. The mind is not operational, and so there is no world and no complaints also in deep sleep. The moment the mind becomes alive, I come to the waking state and I become a Vishwa and identify with the mind. In the dream state, I was Taijasa. This mind validates the world and gives reality to the world. Once the world is empowered by the mind, the world starts harassing the mind. The world borrows power from the mind and harasses the mind. Look at it. Thus, they mutually attack each other. The mind gets affected because of the world, and the world gets affected because of the mind. It is difficult to get out of this. Even imaginary situations affect the individual. Through a particular pattern of thought, I lend reality to the situation, and that affects me immensely. Because of the thought, the object exists, and because of the object, thoughts get strong. But I should not reject the mind and the world, because as long as I am alive, I have to be in the waking state. I have to live in the world. The mind and the world should be allowed to interact. But constantly, I should remember that I am not the mind nor the world. On one side, there is the mind. On the other, that's the world. I accommodate them, bless them, enliven them. I let them hang around me also. But let them not overwhelm me. They cannot overpower me. This is possible only when I understand that the creation is a complementary pair of the mind and the world only. This is a very, very profound shloka. Creation is a complementary pair of the mind and the world. So the mind and the world are evident only because of each other. Shloka 68. Shloka 68 and 270, we will see all the three shlokas together and see the analysis.
Yata swapnamayo jivaha jayate mriyate picha tata jiva ami sarve bhavanti na bhavanti cha.
So all the jivas appear and disappear just as a dream. Jiva appears and disappears. So that is what this shloka is. And yatama, shloka 69,
yata maya mayo jivaha jayate mriyate picha tata jiva ami sarve bhavanti na bhavanti cha.
Similar shlokas. All these jivas appear and disappear, just as an illusory jiva appears and disappears. Earlier dream jiva appears and disappears. Here it is illusory, maya.
Shloka 70. Yata nirmitako jivaha jayate mriyate piva tata jiva ami sarve bhavanti na bhavanti cham.
So all these jivas appear and disappear just as a materialized jiva appears and disappears. This is nirmitakaha, means created by some process, medicines, charms, all kinds of things. These are nirmitaka jivaha. So all these things and beings obtaining in the waking state, they appear and after some time they just disappear. Like the patterns of the torch, the firebrand, having existence without having any existence of their own. They have, that is why this Alatam, that's this entire prakaranam is called Alata Shanti Prakaranam, because Alatam, that the firebrand, the torch is used, and the torch and the patterns that is used here very strongly. They have the capacity to appear with borrowed existence, but do not have independent existence or origination. When they appear, you have to handle them, but do not get involved too much. So Gaudapada Acharya gives three examples, one each in the first line of the shloka 68, 69 and 70. That's why we are seeing all these things together. So in shloka 68, the example is what? Swapnamaya jivaha. In 69, it is mayamaya jivaha. And in shloka 70, it is nirmitako jivaha. So the first example, Swapnamaya Jivaha, is the dream that being the dream being that appears in dream and disappears on waking. The dream can happen in a fraction of a second. And the second example is the magical jiva projected by a magician who also appears and disappears. And the third example is the materialized jiva because of some yogic powers. And that is short-lived, appearing and disappearing. Vishwamitra created the entire world, Trishanku, by magic, yogic powers. So, in all these examples, the jivas do not have existence, origination, but they only have appearance. So, these examples should be extended to the universe also, which is difficult. So, our bodies appear to be continuous entities, but the body cells are constantly changing. The conclusion of this discussion is given in Shloka 71 that we will see right now. Shloka 71. Nakaschit jayate jivaha sambhavosyana vidyate etaddat uttamam satyam yatra kinchinna jayate. Nakaschit jayate jivaha. No jiva is born. Sambhavaha asyana vidyate. This jiva has no cause. Etat tat uttamam satyam. This Brahman, uttamam satyam, is the absolute truth. Yatra kinchit na jayate, in which nothing is born. So, Gaudapada Acharya comes to the Ajadivada again by quoting Shloka 48 of Chapter 3 and here showing that both the Mithya Ajadivada and Ajadivada are nothing but one and the same teaching, seen from two different angles. Similar to the statements, for example, the cup is half full or half empty. Seeing the world is seemingly born is Mithya Jatiwada. And saying the world is not actually born is Ajatiwada. So Gaudapada says that both the teachings are the same. Whether it is Mithya Jatiwada or Ajatiwada, both are same. No jiva or jagat is really born. The word really, in quotes, is important even though the jiva or jagat is seemingly born, but they are not really born. There is no origination for the jiva. We have refuted several theories such as the Satkaryavada, Asatkaryavada, all of them earlier. Even the Vedic theory of the law of karma will not work ultimately. No theory of creation can be logically convincing. So there is no origination of the world. But that then one should not say that there is nothing also. Sunyavada also doesn't work. There is one absolute reality called the Turiyam, which is the highest reality. The dream world is called Pratibhasika Satyam, seemingly real in dream state. The waking world is called Vyavaharika Satyam, seemingly real in the waking state. And Atma, the Turiyam, is called Paramarthika Satyam, real, the actual reality in all the states. So, these are called subjective reality, empirical reality and absolute reality. Pradibhasika Satyam is subjective reality, Vyavaharika Satyam, empirical reality and Paramarthika Satyam, absolute reality. So, the Turiyam is the absolute reality in which nothing is really born. Shloka 72.
Chittaspanditame Vedam Grahya grahaka vadvayam chittam nirvishayam nityam asangam tena kirtitam. Graha graha vadvayam. This duality consisting of the subject and object, right? That's duality. Chittas panditam evedam. So, is nothing but the apparent motion of consciousness, panditam. Chittam nirvishayam nityam. Consciousness is ever free from objects. Tena asangam kirtitam. Therefore, it is said to be relationshipless. Asangam. So, how does the appearance of the waking and dream world take place? Gaudapada Acharya refers to the torch example again, firebrand. The flame tip in the torch is only one, but because of the whirling movement, there is the appearance of plurality. Similarly, one consciousness seems to move violently
And this seeming motion of consciousness alone is the waking and the dream world. This is called Chaitanya Spandana. The word Chittam in this shloka is Chaitanyam. So how does Chaitanyam seemingly move? Because of the movement of thoughts. When there are no thoughts, there is no waking or the dream world. Chaitanyam doesn't move, it's the thoughts. When there are no thoughts, there is no waking or the dream world. For example, the deep sleep state. The seeming motion of consciousness, Chaitanyam, is caused by the rise and fall of thoughts. The thoughts come from the mind and the mind comes from Maya. Therefore, Maya alone, through the thought movement, is producing all of these. When thoughts are resolved, there is neither waking world nor the dream world. In deep sleep, none of them exist. In presence of moving thoughts, consciousness appears to move, producing various object knowledge. When one object is perceived, there is Chaitanyam, and that object thought. When a different object is perceived, consciousness does not change, but the thought has now changed to that new object thought. Thus, one experience has changed to another experience, and the experiences, they flow. Thoughts move and experiences flow, and you get a virtual reality which is like a hologram that appears very tangible. Thus, the thought motion creates the appearance of the world. Thought means Maya. Maya alone causes all this. This entire creation is the seeming motion of Chaitanya, consciousness, caused by the motion of thoughts of the mind. So the complementary pair of mind and world is nothing but the seeming motion of one Maya only. Therefore, there is no object for consciousness. In the initial stage of Vedanta, we do Atma, Anatma, Viveka, Drik, Drishya, Viveka. All these names should be familiar to you. Using the principle that the subject is always different from the object. That is what we start in the beginning stages of Vedanta. The experiencer is different from the experienced object. The experiencer is Atma and the experienced is Anatma. It is also said that Anatma has, you know, Drishyatvam, Bhautikatvam, Sagunatvam, Savikaratvam, Agamapayitvam, so many things. It is said that the consciousness is the observer and the world is the observed. All these we learnt in the beginning. Thus, the observer observed duality is talked about initially when we started learning Vedanta. The ultimate in Advaita that has to be said is that there is no observed object other than the observer subject. Gaudapadacharya says that here. He says that the observer consciousness is really free from the object that is observed. Observed Anatma is an appearance all the time and does not have an existence of its own. When the observed Anatma is negated, Atma cannot be called the observer also. Atma gains the status of observer when? Only when there is something to be observed. So Atma cannot be called the observer also when the Anatma, observed Anatma is negated. So the observer status is valid only as long as the observed is accepted. Similar to the status of the teacher, that is valid only as long as there are students listening. The teacher does not disappear, but the teacher status is no longer valid. Teacher status is valid only when there are students. Thus, consciousness is beyond any relational names once Anatma is negated. So, Pramata, Sakshi, all those, they are all names given to Atma in relation to known and observed. But these names have to be retracted once the known and observed Anatma is negated. But can Atma be called consciousness? Another interesting question. Shankaracharya says that even the word consciousness is relevant only with reference to the world which is insentient. The concept of sentiency can be appreciated only when there is insentience. So even words like Sat, Chit, Ananda, Adhishtanam, they are all relational names. So consciousness does not have relationship with anything because there is no second thing at all. First, the existence of anatma is accepted, and therefore relationship between atma and anatma is talked about. And Gaudapada Acharya says that this relationship cannot be talked about because anatma does not exist separate from atma. Anatma is another name used for the only substance, atma. Look at that. Anatma is another name for atma. The example of clay and clay pot is relevant here. First we talk about clay, and then we talk about clay pot. Now we have two words, clay and pot. Then we imagine that there are two substances, and the relationship between the two is talked about. One is karanam, another is karyam, all that. Clay and pot are two words, but are there two substances? Can you make clay and pot occupy two separate places? These two words are useful for transaction. The usefulness of the two are not questioned, but the counting of them as pot and clay as two different substances, that alone is questioned. There are not two different things. And so the relationship between them is out of what? Out of our ignorance. Similarly, the relationship between atma and anatma is a myth, and there is no karya-karana relationship. Therefore, Brahman is neither karanam nor karyam. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, we are going to see later, a very famous mantra is quoted. Tadetat Brahma apurvam anantam anaparam anantaram abhayam. Apurvam anantaram means that turiyam is neither cause nor effect because karya-karana relationship requires duality. And there is none. Where is that turiyam? Do not look up here and there, outward or inward. Knowing turiyam is only claiming that I am turiyam, which is nothing but a thought that has to take place where? In the mind with understanding. When I claim that I am this turiyam, the word I means the consciousness, chaitanyam. When I claim this, life is a play. Without claiming this, life is a meaningless, burdensome, boring struggle. So what should be life is our choice. We'll stop here. Yo vedadav swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakriti leenasya yapara samaheshwaraha. Krishna Arpanamastu Narayana.